We want to welcome you back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Alan, and as always, I'm here with Trent Young, and we are so excited to be with you today. Trent, I'm here in Colorado. We're full blown. We're into April. The weather's supposed to be nice, and I've got 4 days of snow in the forecast here. It's not right. So anyway, I think there's some kind of doctrine about that. Isn't that relevant today?
Some kind of law. There should be. If there's not, we're going to invent one. I tell you what, Alan, some of the worst snowstorms I ever lived through in Colorado happened about this time of year. So I'm sorry. I'll just leave you with that. But in Oklahoma, it's going to be 70 degrees. So, Well, hey, but you mentioned doctrine, and so we're going to talk a little bit about doctrine today. And I know that that's like a four-letter word with extra letters, and it's not much fun. But Alan had a great experience that we want to talk through and just kind of understand why sometimes it's hard to teach through a doctrinal sermon. But we wanted to take a little bit of time and define. People may not understand even what that word means. And so we want to talk about that and why it's important for us in our church. But doctrine really is just, it's a set of beliefs that are kind of put in place, a codification, if you will, and a body of teachings and instructions. And so you kind of need to know that as we talk through this topic today.
Right. When you're in seminary, you get a lot of that, like in a class that most everyone takes at any seminary called systematic theology, where you're learning more about the doctrines, how the doctrines were put together. And so it is an important topic. And one of the things that can be a real challenge, I think, is to talk to people about doctrines. And even though many messages contain elements of doctrine, it's very rare that I have seen a lot of preaching through doctrines. And I felt inspired going into this year that I needed to talk about the doctrine of God and who God is and some of the characteristics of God. And so I put together a sermon series on some of the key attributes of who God is. And it was called A God Worth Knowing. And we're not going to go through the sermon series. One, you're not interested in that, but we want to talk about some of the things we learned, because this was different for me. It was a different experience than I've had preaching. And here I am, I've been a pastor, coming up on 30 years or whatever. And I've not had kind of this feeling preaching through a series before. So we thought it'd be a good topic to talk about.
I think so too, Alan. And I think it's really important. So many of the people in our churches across the nation struggle with knowing what they really believe. They feel like they're connected to a church, and they're going to talk about that, but they're not going to talk most of the time about what they believe, because most of the time, I'm not sure that they know for sure what they believe. Nobody's ever taught them through that. So I'm glad that you took time to teach this sermon series. And we want to talk a little bit about why it's a struggle, but why it's valuable too.
Yeah. Some of the doctrines, so I did some on the attributes of God, but you could do one on Christology. You could do one on the Trinity. You could do one, probably the most popular one is to do one on the doctrine of last things. But really, if you do a sermon series on the doctrine of last things and you only take one perspective of end times, you've really not done a doctrinal study, because I believe you do have to account for some other things. Now, one of the things I do want to say up front is I told my church that I was not doing an apologetics series on doctrine. So I wasn't really trying to create a defense. I was really just trying to explain what the Bible teaches about some of those key doctrines. And so I was starting from a place of expecting some people to have some kind of knowledge, even if it was incomplete. And so I do want to preface it by saying that that's how I approach the series. I think there is a place for apologetics. In fact, I did an apologetics series once, but this was a little bit different. So anyway, with that in mind, let's kind of jump into some of those things that I think were good for me and what I learned. Now, Trent, I know you've experienced some of the same things. And so the first thing was, is that I realized in this one that I needed to stretch my study muscles more than I had been.
Yeah, you know, we can all get in a rut, you know, and we can all just kind of, oh, I do the same thing all the time. But I think it really is valuable for us to dig in, study through some books maybe that we haven't opened in a while, or search up some things online that can kind of help us to make sure that we understand doctrine as well. It's not just for our congregation, but for us personally. Are we understanding what we're talking about on a weekly basis? Because we do typically talk about some doctrine in every sermon, but we need to make sure that we understand what we're talking about and that we're staying fresh and learning all the time.
Yeah, you know, there's so many books, and I know that some of you out there who are listening, you probably, all your books are virtual now, but I still have a lot of books. I've tried to slim down some of the numbers of books I have, but I still have a lot of books. And I was opening books I've not opened in a really long time. And I was reading some stuff where I'd go through and say, wow, I'd marked all this up and I don't remember having marked this. I don't remember having read this, but this is really good and this is really important. And I need to look at these things because, one, they give a foundation for our faith. But secondly, you know, the Bible says, study to show yourselves approved unto God. And I do think that sometimes our sermon preparation can almost become like, it's just something we do out of habit. You've got your same three or four sources that you go to, you look at those, you read some stories, you put the application in and all that. And it's done. And I had to go to a lot of different sources. I really had to challenge and stretch and to study and prepare for this series. And so it really took a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Alan, when I learn something new, I'm more excited about sharing it. And, you know, and I think that's important too. We want to be exciting to listen to. We don't want to be dry and it's like, oh, it's the same stuff, you know. So I think that's important. And this next part of this, Alan, we need to be continual learners. I think that's really important because we've shared in our church that a disciple is a lifelong learner and follower of Jesus Christ. And so that means that I'm willing to continually learn new things. And I think that's important.
So what I did is, you know, I had systematic theology, you know, decades ago. So one of the things I did is I went over to Luke, my associate, and I got his systematic theology book, which was much newer than mine. And I used that as a key resource for me. And I think it's good to, you know, get some new resources in areas where we typically don't have resources, you know, and whether you use an online source or whatever, but to get to some newer sources and just see what some of the newer scholars are saying as well. I think it's important to keep our research fresh and for not for everything to be, you know, from back when we were learning it. So keep some of those resources fresh. That's what it means to be a continual learner, is to keep it fresh. And I will admit, it is harder for me now than that used to be, not from the standpoint of I don't like learning, but from the standpoint of, but this person's 15 years younger than me. And and let's just be honest, I think as we get older, sometimes we think, well, what do they know? You know, I've been doing this. Well, they're pretty smart. There's a lot of smart young people out there who love God and love His Word and are learning and teaching and expressing things in ways that can help us express it better. So we need to be continual learners.
Well, and I think sometimes the problem is also true the opposite. There are some younger people that won't look at the older resources because they think, well, what do they know? You know, because Alan and I, in systematic theology, we had to take our chisel and stone tablets, you know, and make notes. But there are some great older scholars that I think is really important to go look back there, too. And to, you have a balanced approach.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the scholarship of Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble. But yeah. I think it is important to look at the breadth of it, because that's, you know, doctrine was established. You know, really what makes the New Testament so spectacular for us is that, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts tell us the story, but really it's the epistles, the letters that give us the theological foundations that make up that story. And God gave us that. He gave us both the story and the theology, the doctrines to go with it. And it is important for us to look at the Bible as a whole and pull those things up. Now, one of the things that, Trent, I found a huge challenge in preaching and putting together a sermon series on doctrine was that doctrines include a lot of repetition and common foundations. And so every week I felt like I was just saying something in some way that maybe I'd already said, or that the doctrines were closely related. And so that was a real challenge, trying to differentiate between some of those things.
Well, I think that that can be a positive thing too, because as we think about the number of times that it takes someone to actually take something in, that they've got to be, you know, hearing that a number of times. And so, yeah, it does seem like, oh, I'm just saying, rehashing this. But sometimes we can find a new way to say that same thing, different words maybe. But it is important for us to hear things a number of times so that it becomes part of us.
Yes. And, you know, I'll give an example. So the first sermon I preached in this was the transcendence of God. So teaching about the transcendence of God. Well, God is beyond. I mean, that's really what that means. God goes beyond. So every doctrine of God, because God's not like us, every doctrine relates back to the transcendence of God. So you couldn't talk about any other doctrine without talking about his transcendence, you know, that he exists outside our personal framework. And so that is a huge reminder to me that, yes, you're going to be building. And that's really what doctrines are. They are building blocks, and they lock together. So, you know, they're the Lego of our faith there. They just build together, click together, work together. And that's how good doctrine works. If your doctrine is disjointed, you know, your faith expression is going to fall apart anyway. So it's important.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so as we learn those doctrinal issues and we're teaching those, I'm a big person. I like to have some applicable point. You know, what is it? How do you deal with this on a daily basis? And so, Alan, how do you make it? I know this is probably a struggle. How do you make it applicable?
It's hard, man. That was the hardest part of this whole sermon series, Trent, was trying to figure out how to apply and illustrate doctrine. I mean, for instance, explain to me how you illustrate the transcendence of God. I mean, it's just really, really hard to put application in. I think that's one of the reasons we shy away from doctrine, because we want to be applicable. We want it to be to impact people's lives, because if doctrine doesn't impact your life, you know, then really what good was it? And so the importance for us is to recognize that we do have to find a way to apply and illustrate it. And so, you know, a lot of that came through as I was reading and as I was studying. I was trying to picture, you know, sometimes it's about trying to create a visual image. You know, if I'm talking about the eternal God and how he exists outside our timeline, you know, to have a line and then to have someone outside that line say he's interacting with this. Why? Because he's the transcendent God and he's the eternal God. And because he's the eternal God, he sees the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. And it's because he's not in this timeline with us, you know. And so, you know, it starts to sound like a DC comic at some point in time, but that's because God is beyond our human comprehension and beyond our imagination. And so you try to find ways to do that. I used an illustration about the sun and, you know, all these kinds of things to try to do that. But even that dims in comparison to God. And you have to recognize that there are limits when you do find a decent illustration, that it's limited. You know, I remember someone saying you could never perfectly illustrate the Trinity. We can use an egg, or we can use the, you know, dad, father, son thing. You can use all these, but there are limits. There are limits within those. And that's true with any illustration regarding most of our doctrines, is that they do tend to fall a little short, but they help. And that's mm-hmm. what you're looking for, is illustrations that help.
Right. Well, and as you were saying that, I began to think about, you know, it's hard for us to find applicable things, but really it does apply when, you know, as an individual believer am praying, you know, it makes me think about God maybe in a different way. And I pray to God in a different way, and mentioning how, God, I'm so thankful that you're not limited by this timeline that I'm living in. And so you're able to do more, and you're able to see more, and I can trust in you because you know. And so things like that, and all this, it stretches us, you know, as we're looking for illustrations, it stretches us, just like we're talking about the need for doctrinal study stretches us, which is always good. We don't want to stay that same infant in our beliefs, you know, 50 years down the road. We want to grow in all of this as well.
Yeah, so it's important for us. And then we also need to recognize that we're sitting there looking at people who know much less about doctrine than we think they know. And I would make this a strong encouragement about most elements of our faith. You know, I've always been a big believer, you know, go for low-hanging fruit, keep the cookies on the low shelf and all those kinds of things. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't inform people, you know, about important truths or important things in doctrine. You know, and there were people in my church who, you know, I grew up hearing about the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. And there were people in my church who'd never heard those terms to describe him. Hmm. And we need to recognize that people don't know as much as we think they know, that there are people who are just beginning this journey. There are people who grew up in traditions where they didn't teach this. There are people who are coming to your church who have never been to church. Every doctrine is a new doctrine to them. And I think we need to recognize that people know less about doctrine than we think they do.
Well, that was truly true of myself. And I remember going to seminary, Alan, and getting there, and they were using these terms that I was like, I had no clue what they were talking about. And I thought, man, these other guys, they must walk across the pond to get to class, you know, and I felt like such a hick, you know. And so it's good to learn, you know, our people need to be pushed a little bit. They need to get out of their comfort zone a little bit as well.
Yes, yes, and it's important. It's important for us to do that. It's important for us to stretch their minds out. There are some big words that I think people in our churches need to know. You know, a good example is justification and sanctification. Everyone in our church should know what those two words are and what they mean. That justification means you are made right before God. You're made declared just by a holy God. And sanctification is that cleansing process that goes on. Justification is a once in a moment thing, and sanctification is a lifelong process. Our people need to know those two words because they're all over the Bible, you know. And so there's these terms at times that we need to express, and that our people do need to know, and they are theological words, and that's where they have their greatest meaning. And so, you know, it's okay to do that. This is not trying to share them the minor Greek word that has no real significance from the passage. This is nuts and bolts. This is stuff you need to know. And I mm-hmm. think that's important.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned the Greek words and things like that. And it seems like anymore pastors don't use the Greek and the Hebrew and try to define that. But I want to encourage you not to shy away totally from that, because there are some things that are not, as we just look at the English and these terms that are in Scripture, we don't catch a lot of the meaning that is there. And if you look in the Greek and the Hebrew, so yeah, all that we need to learn, and our people need to learn some of that too. And so give them some things to chew on, make them think a little bit.
Especially with the verb tenses too, with some of those words. I think that's where we oftentimes lose it in English, is because the Greek had so many more verb tenses, and those tenses are highly, highly significant. And those can be a good springboard, especially in doctrinal research, because I think they can give clarity in some of those places. So, you know, that was the other thing. People don't know it. So can you explain all of it to them in one time? Yeah, I remember there was a old movie that Weird Al Yankovic made called UHF, and characters in there and doing a goofy game show and says, "Hey kid, you want to drink from the fire hose?" And I think if you try to answer every question in a doctrinal sermon, you're gonna ask people to drink from a fire hose. It's probably not gonna go real well.
Right. Well, and we're all limited by time too, right? You know, we're trying to share massive, you know, huge theories and doctrines in 30 minutes or 20 minutes or 40 minutes. You know, how do you do that? When you and I took systematic theology over the course of a year, I wrote the most in that class that I've ever written, Alan. I wrote an entire book, and that was just crazy. So.
Yep. That was a great exercise. I actually enjoyed all the writing that I did, because it forced me to think, and I really don't like to think super hard. So it was really, really, really good for me. I like things that are simple, and doctrines are not simple. So it's important for us to continue to do that. So creating that curiosity by not answering questions, though, that's what keeps your church. That's what keeps your people in your church studying on their own. So let me encourage you, not only is it too much to try to do it, but creating the curiosity is good, especially if you can point them in the way of right resources and right conversations to have to get better understanding of those things. But, you know, I think that's an area where we could all be better, is really using the pulpit as a place to create the curiosity where people are going to go, "Ooh, I want to know more about this." And I had a couple of emails from people saying, where could I study this topic more? Yeah. That's good. I mean, I think that's exactly, especially when I talked about God's will and how God's will worked. And I had a lot of questions of people wanting to know more, because there was no way to cover all of that. Mm-hmm. And that was a really good experiment with that. So one of the things I wish I had done more, because about halfway through it, I started realizing I needed to talk through some of these more. But run your preaching plan by trusted sources. Some people are really good at that. Others of us, we kind of hold it like so it can be the big surprise unveiling on Sundays. But one thing I wish I had done more with my doctrinal series is gotten a few more people who know doctrine, who could have helped me formulate it better.
Mm-hmm. Well, even, you know, as you mentioned, I know that you talk with Luke quite a bit. I know you talk to Rochelle, your wife, quite a bit. I do the same thing, and sometimes they will ask questions that make you think about something else that you need to make sure and explain, or what about this side of this? And so not only, you know, just to make sure that you've got it nailed down, but also to help you think through it and maybe add some extra points that you might not have otherwise. I think that it's a healthy thing for us. Yeah, we do like to be in control. We do like to, you know, feel like we've got all this down. But honestly, man, I tell my people all the time, I'm a hot mess. There's no telling, you know. I want to make sure that I am saying the right things. And I really do pray quite a bit that God, please don't let me say something, preach something that will lead my people away from you. I want to make sure and lead them to you.
Right. And I've seen that happen. I've seen pastors certainly do that. Well, and I think the one thing that I realize on the backside of it is there's always something you think, "Oh, I could have done this," or "I could have done that," more so than with other sermon series I've preached. It was just a much more of a feeling of, "Wow, that was incomplete," or, gee, I wish I had, you know. And so I think you got to be ready for that. I think you need to recognize that doctrine's a big area. And when you do it, you're never going to be completely satisfied with it. And I'll be honest, I hope that you're never completely satisfied with any of your sermons. I hope you always see room for improvement in your preaching, because that is something that we can always get better at. And so keep doing that.
That's true, Alan. We all need to continue and be that lifelong learner and follower of Jesus Christ. If we want our people in our church to do that, we have to model that before them and let them know that we're continuing to grow. We're not just in our rut preaching through things that we just know. We're not going back, oh, I haven't preached this in 5 years. I can hit that sucker again. You know, that's not healthy for us. We need to be growing as well. And so we want to help you to do that. Alan and I, the reason we do this podcast is to help you and push you to be able to endure and not just be lazy sometimes like we are. But we want to encourage you. And so Alan and I want to invite you to contact us to let us know how we can be a help to you. So Alan, how can they do that?
Yeah, so they can catch us on our Facebook page. That's if you just go to Facebook and look for Enduring Churches, you'll find us. If you go to our website at enduringchurches.com or enduringchurches.consulting, you'll find us either way. And then you can email us, Alan, A-L-A-N, at enduringchurches.consulting or Trent at enduringchurches.consulting. That's T-R-E-N-T, if you were curious about that. But anyway, we would love to hear from you. Share your experiences with us about preaching a doctrinal series and some of the challenges and struggles that you had in that. And, you know, a final encouragement in that is in your preaching, I think it's important to challenge yourself every now and then. So maybe that's not a challenge for you, but find a way to challenge yourself, I think, at times in your preaching and in your preparation. But we are so grateful that you join us. And like Trent said, we're here to help. Let us know how we can help you. And we look forward to catching you on our next episode.